In the year 1831, biologist Charles Darwin began a fateful journey on the HMS Beagle. On that journey, Darwin formulated the controversial theory of evolution, which has impacted society down to this day.
Our goal is to punch holes in that theory, so we'd like to welcome you to
Sink the Beagle.
Fire one, Captain.
Nice shooting, John. Way to go.
Thank you, Stan. I love to put the beagle at the bottom. It's my one of my joys in life. I'm John Krolinski.
I am Stan Hudson. We want to welcome you to another Sink the Beagle,
where we take lighthearted looks at the serious issues of evolution and creation because it's fun.
And lighthearted and lightheaded because that works well with those of us who don't know much, and that's the subject of today.
We want to talk about a very familiar phrase that men find so hard to say, and that is,
I don't know.
Yes.
Red-green philosophy. Yes. I love it, yes.
It's actually the, you know, the Bible actually has it. We go on a, well, let's start off with a torpedo text, Stan. It's not surprising. Men, the wise man once said, there are some things he doesn't know in a
yes.
very poetic way.
Yes, a wise man who actually knew a lot, nevertheless said this in Proverbs 3:18, there are three things which are too wonderful for me, yes, four, which I do not understand, the way of an eagle in the air, the way of a serpent on a rock, the way of a ship in the midst of the sea, and the way of a man with a woman.
Yes. That one always
yeah,
gets us.
And all the men said, amen. Men.
Actually, yes. Unknowns, the great unknown.
I don't know.
We want to talk about the great unknown and actually the agnostic, what I call the agnostic creation story, Stan.
The agnostics live in a world of unknown.
The journey to the unknown. And if we wanted to pick an author, we could even choose a famous unknown author called Anonymous.
Anon, without name. Okay.
Without name, giving mm-hmm. a story without knowing. Actually, yes. When you think about it, when you look at the idea, and we shared a little bit talking about the assumptions of evolutionists mm-hmm. last time together on Sink the Beagle. Today we want to follow up really where they and develop the assumptions on the idea of agnosticism.
Agnosticism. And what is agnosticism, John?
Without knowledge or without knowing.
Agnostic.
Without gnosis, knowledge.
Without knowledge. And actually the term comes from one of our Darwin friends.
Who was that famous Darwin friend?
Well, Thomas Henry Huxley.
Tommy, the huckster?
The huckster, the bulldog
He's
of Darwin.
He's in the house, all right.
when asked during the mid-1800s, he was Darwin's bulldog, and they asked him, he was kind of the fighter for Darwin, they asked him, are you an atheist? And he said, well, and he came up with a new term.
He didn't like that pejorative term, atheist.
It was kind of negative.
Against God person. You're really against God. And it's, God's, most people like God.
Yeah, so to sell Darwinian evolution better, he decided to come up with a new term, and he coined it, and he called himself an agnostic. Now, he understood that to mean that he was he couldn't figure out, or the subjects like is there a God was an unknowable subject, but really was saying he was not able to understand. He was saying, I don't know.
I don't know. And what happens is out of the I don't knows comes the I don't know story, because everyone needs to have for their worldview an origin story.
Where an origin come myth? From.
An origin myth, an origin creation story.
Right.
Science has its creation story, and I call it the agnostic creation story mm-hmm. in the sense that it is assumed that unknown chemicals in the primordial past is the first part of the unknown. It's the chemicals that they don't know
the primordial
exactly
soup.
Which ingredients made up the
cream of mushrooms.
The soup next over, like
the
you said.
The next over, primordial on that
primordial
yeah, on
soup
that
on the
Campbell's
shelf.
Rank, yes.
On the,
shelf.
On the soup shelf, yes.
And they don't know what the chemicals are, because actually whenever they try to do chemical studies and at
reproduce,
they don't usually have good results. So
yes, those went back to the studies when they tried to zap certain chemicals, and then the geologist said, well, the early Earth atmosphere didn't have all these chemicals.
Yeah, we got to change the chemicals to come up with what we need. And basically they don't know yet. They've it's kind of like Edison and the light bulb, I suppose. They found out a whole lot of filaments that don't work.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe someday they'll find that tungsten that does work, but right now they don't know. But that's an unknown. Don't know what the original composition is.
They don't know what the original soup mixture had.
Okay.
And through
but
that
must have been there. Must have
but
been
because
there.
Through that original chemicals, through unknown processes which no longer exist, because they don't know quite what caused the
what
soup.
Changes soup into
what changed
something.
Soup into
alive.
A cell.
Uh-huh.
From
it's
soup
alive,
to cell.
It's alive.
Breathing and snorting.
Yeah,
and,
what,
yeah. What
was
changes
it?
Soup to
lightning?
Cell?
I mean, what was it? A hot bath? What
was
you
it?
Know,
a static shock? What caused
electromagnetic forces? The magnetic field of the Earth?
Was it the radiation kind of just hitting
yeah,
it,
beta
zapping
waves,
it right?
Gamma rays from outer space.
Yeah, yeah. So they don't know
phaser
the process.
Beams.
Where? What was the process by which what went from soup to cell,
yeah.
so to speak?
Obviously involved energy, but what kind of energy? So,
and so through an unknown process, which no longer existed, it produced unknown life forms, which are not to be found.
Yeah, something before amoebas.
Something a pre kind of simple sort of
even simpler
bacteria.
Simple
I don't know. We
something.
Just don't. No.
We don't know. So that's another thing. Their real original ancestor, we don't know what that was.
No, we don't know. But through that.
But there must have been one.
There must have been one because we're getting closer.
Yeah.
There's some other things we don't know. But through that unknown came a reproductive method.
Ah, to make new babies.
Yes. So the soup to sell to whatever it was to. Offspring
via sex of some kind
of some
so
kind
whatever cell divisions
asexual reproduction possibly
yep.
We
okay.
know cells divide
okay
because we can see cells divide
but we don't know
and therefore it must have divided somewhere
what methods how it went from unicellular
yeah. to multicellular
bigender
to
yeah double gender
double ooh that's a tough one
that is a tough
you
one
you know we go from the unknown source of, like, just man to, whoa, man, complexity.
and throughout the biological world, that's pretty much the way it works. So why go from – what broke? I mean, why fix it? You know, why you didn't
yeah.
need the two genders before, but now is it a better way? And what were the processes that suddenly made that happen? Don't
so,
know.
Yeah,
unknown.
We don't know how sexuality even started and reproduction started, asexual,
mm-hmm.
Multisexual, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So we have the continuation and the spawning of new life
okay.
in an unknown. What we don't know is what was the atmosphere like. We have the mm-hmm. soup, but was there atmosphere? Was there what kind of composition was in there that allowed it to be sustained? And what didn't you know? Night
well,
and
does
day.
Carbon dioxide make for good plants? Plants give you oxygen, so animals kind of. But before that, what? Yeah,
what was
we
first,
don't know.
Plants or animals?
Yeah, probably and well. Okay, don't know.
What comes first, the plant or the animal, the chicken or the egg? We know that one.
We
chicken.
Do. Okay. Well, yes. Thank you.
But, okay. All right. We solved that one.
The yes.
We do know that.
Mm-hmm.
So we have the early atmosphere. We then go on, though, Stan, from that early composition that we don't know about, it came about in an unknown oceanic soup complex.
Well,
in other words, this has to yeah. happen multiply, kind of in a larger scale. And we got a planet, Stan, full of life.
And water. And there's a lot of water. And
where'd
and
that
the
all
assumption
come from?
Is we all crawled out of the water. So it started, something happened in the swimming pool way back when. And again,
they
what
developed
the conditions.
Limbs.
Yes.
Critters.
Fins and things. Gills and things.
And then lungs and
yeah,
other things.
But,
and
but
pretty soon
of,
we decided to go airborne.
We did. And we, and again, they don't know where the ocean part of this mixes into it. So how.
But that, it had that, to somehow come about.
But we came out of the ocean. So
we saw
that's,
a baseball bat lying on the shore and a ball. And we said, hey, we got to get out there and have fun.
Let's go have fun. So
that's the Far Side cartoon that we love.
That's the Far Side answering an unknown question. How
where
did
baseball
it happen?
Come from?
Baseball come from? Oh, come on.
Okay. And finally, Stan, the last unknown is time and place.
Mm-hmm.
Which is
how long it took and where it took
where
place.
Where it happened. Where did that first, was it the Olduvai Gorge? No.
Yeah, out of Africa.
In?
Yeah, I don't know.
Out of Central America?
We don't know where it happens because the geologic column, the fossil record, is pretty much around the world. So it doesn't start really lower somewhere else and then sort of eventually show up everywhere else. It's pretty much wherever you have that.
They start low and go level. High, but they cannot go, they can't pinpoint the high.
Yeah.
Or sort of, they can't pinpoint on the surface.
If they could find a place where it's deepest and nowhere else the fossil record would be, then that would give you a hint that life started there. But life shows up everywhere at that, at whatever life level life shows up. It's everywhere at that level.
So what we're saying is really the agnostic creation story is really the journey into the great unknown.
Yes, it is. That which is agnostic.
Yes.
Not knowable is where they live.
We had our torpedo text that talks about the idea that there's things that are too wonderful, too unknowable for us, and yet as believers in we have an alternative. We do believe that God is known. And the book of Romans chapter 1 sort of gives us a clue. It sort of tells us some realities about this God who is knowable. And it says this in following, talks about God's wrath coming. For what can be known about God is plain. You know, it says in verse 19, what can be known about God is plain because God had showed it to them.
There's evidence.
Where is its evidence, he says? Ever since the creation of the world, his invisible nature, namely his eternal power and deity, has been clearly perceived in the things that he has been made. So humanity is without excuse for not knowing more than they claim to not know.
It's really a way of describing complexity. It's saying that the deity of God or the power, the wonderment of nature points to a fabulous creator with a great mind that designed all the systems and everything we see.
Yeah.
The things that cause Solomon to wonder more about.
Yeah, it's the things that, you know, we should easily draw conclusions from. And he's saying when you look at that complexity, when you look at that beauty, when you look at the interdependence, you should say, this can't just happen in an unknown. There has to be, it screams design, it screams designer. So even scientists who aren't necessarily that religious realize that this world, cellular life, and all these things are way too complex to be an accident.
Well, even Job, and there is an appropriate place for us to humbly say some of these things are too wonderful, too beyond our ability to understand. I remember Job saying at the end of the great book of Job, when God challenges him, where were you when I did all these things, when I laid out the lines and measured the heavens, where were you? And Job correctly says, I think I probably speculated a little too much. I think I'll be quiet now.
I won't speculate on what I don't know anymore.
And there's a lot I don't know.
A lot I don't know, and I'm just going to keep my mouth shut. And that's what we should do sometimes.
Sink the Beagle.
Yeah. When we don't know something, it is better to be silent than to spout words of fools. And professing to be wise, they became fools, because that's the result.
That's exactly right. And so when you talk about things you don't know and you speculate, you come up with plans like this great agnostic creation story with unknown chemicals in the primordial past, shaped by processes we don't understand, forming life forms that we've not yet discovered. All of these things show not so much a humble attitude, John, but really
an
ignorant attitude.
An ignorant and an arrogant attitude. The old huckster.
The old huckster.
Thomas Huxley didn't want to be
called an atheist.
Because he knew it was a negative term.
But preferred ignorant.
Okay, simpleton. Yes. Well, we hope you've become a little wiser and you can tune in again on another
Sink the Beagle.
So join us here each week, my friends. You're sure to get a smile from seven stranded castaways here on Gilligan's Isle.